form, the changes, it still works.
Okay. Send it to me.
Okay.
Okay. I want to finish up a few things about relational databases, and then we're going to look at something that's just fun to play with, but it gets into object-oriented programming, which is Chapter 7. Okay, so I'm going to look at this example that I asked you to do. And there are a relational database. There are three things that you look at. One-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many. So when you're analyzing where data should go, and when you're analyzing how to set up the tables, one of those three things are three important things. One-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many. An example of one-to-one might be, let me take a picture of this. An example of one-to-one might be a payroll situation where you decided to have one table for the employee with secure information, like salary, and one table for the employee with unsecure information, like name and address and things like that. They would, each employee would have one record on each table. So that's a one-to-one relationship. On my secure file, I will have a record about the employee. On my unsecure file, I'll have a record about the employee. And so they will have a one-to-one relationship. Okay, one-to-many is what we have up here. And that is, I want all of my donors to make more than one donation. So I have a one-to-many relationship there. I want each donor to give many donations. I could also say that about the drive. I want each drive to have many donations. So a one-to-many relationship means that I have on one table one donor, and on the other table I have hopefully lots of things from that donor, that they've given me lots of money. Okay, so I want a one-to-many relationship. Now, I may not. I may just have a one-to-one relationship, but I need to make it possible to have a one-to-many relationship. So if I have a one-to-many relationship, that means the donor ID can be the key for the one table, but the many table is going to have a key that includes the donor ID, but includes something else to make it such that I can have many donations. In my case, I've got the donor, the drive number, and the date of the donation. But I might have just had the donor ID and the date. But I had to have something so that I could put multiple donations from a single donor on the donation table. And if I don't have a combined key, if I try to just make the donor ID the key, then they can't put on more than one record. Okay. Then the other thing is a many-to-many relationship, and this actually shows one-to-many expanded to many-to-many. But a many-to-many relationship is between these two. And this table becomes what we call a bridge table. And this is more a vocabulary lesson than anything else. And then, as I said, we'll move on. But one donor can give to many drives, right? One donor can give to many drives. And one drive, hopefully, is going to have a donation from many donors. So that means I can't carry the drive over here with the donor because I want the donor to give to more than one drive. And I can't carry the donor over with the drive because I want the drive to have things from many donors. So I can't carry it as the key. And so I end up having my donations in this bridge table. And I'm going to now switch over and give you a better example of a bridge table that I think you'll understand more. If I have the one example that I love best and I use all the time is, let's say I have a movie table. And I have the movie ID as the primary key. And so I can have all the information about the movie on there. The movie made, the year it was made, and all the rest. But let's say I also want to know about stars. And so I'm going to have a star ID, which is the primary key. Now, I can't carry the star number over here with the movie because I would have what we call repeating groups. Okay? Because most movies have more than one star. And how many do we have? So how many slots do we reserve? And we say, okay, only 5 stars. Well, then the 6th star comes along. Where do we put them? So we can't carry the stars with the movie. And the same thing over here, I can't carry the movie ID on the star, because if they're a star, they presumably have starred in more than one movie. And am I going to set a limit on how many movies? Okay, you've starred in 5 movies, now you're done. You know, we'll never hire you again because we don't have a slot for a 6th movie. And that's not going to work. So I can't carry movie over here, and this is a many-to-many relationship. Because one movie has many stars, and one star can be in many movies. So I can't carry the stars with the movie, and I can't carry the movie with the stars. So what I end up doing is making a bridge table that is movie, star together. And I put the movie ID here, and I put the star ID here. So now that record is talking about a particular movie and a particular star. John, the movie is ABC, and the star is John Doe. So if I have a movie that is ABC, and the star is John Doe, and then I can have another ABC movie, can also have Ann Costa. And the ABC movie can also have somebody else as a star. These together are the key. Okay, these together are the primary key. And then the data that I can put on it is things that relate to the movie and the star, such as their salary. What did they get paid for doing that movie? What did John Doe get paid for doing the movie? What did Ann Costa get paid for doing the movie? And then John Doe can show up here down below on the JKL movie, and he would get paid whatever he got paid for doing that movie. Okay, so this would be $100,000. This is going to be $200,000. This is going to be $300,000, whatever. Okay? So those are the salaries John Doe got $100,000 for the ABC movie. John Doe got $300,000 for the JKL movie. Does that make sense? Okay. That was the one thing I kind of had left that I wanted to talk about. And this is more vocabulary than anything else. You will hear people talking about one-to-many relationships or many-to-many relationships. And this is hopefully to say, oh, at least I've heard of that before. And I know it has to do with databases, and I know it has to do with relating tables on databases and how you set up the data. Okay, anybody run into any problems on the Access database I asked you to do? A lot of you have already passed it in. Well, not a lot, a few. Okay, what we're going to do today is actually is kind of fun. We're going to bring up Alice. Yeah. Alice is a, you know, interesting program. If you have elementary school kids in your family, Alice is one of those that they would love once they can read.
Is it a free program?
Huh?
Is it a free program?
It's a free program you can download. Okay? If you just look up Alice, it's by Carnegie Mellon. So we should have Alice on here someplace, and I'm guessing it may be under CIS software, maybe. And there's Alice. Okay. And she is indeed Alice in Wonderland. Okay. And it's a free gift to you from Carnegie Mellon. So if you go look up Alice, you will find it. And as I said, late elementary school, early junior high, like playing with Alice just as a game. There's another game that we use sometimes called Logo. And Logo is actually developed by MIT. And that can be used in elementary school all the way through graduate school.
And there's Scratch, right.
Logo is used... actually at MIT to do traffic analysis.
If we're downloading it, which version should we get? Because there's like 1, 2, 3.
Get this particular version, so let's see when it opens.
This is 2.
2.
2.0.
Okay. They've jazzed up later ones, but they don't teach as much as the 2.0 does. The 2.0 is much more... And we'll see if it even comes up. Hello? Is anybody getting it to come up?
Yeah, it takes a while.
I got it.
Okay. Ah, I got it too. Okay.
It doesn't matter. It's the one online is 2.4. It's the same thing, right?
I believe so. Make sure it gets that picture when it comes up.
Okay.
when we get... Okay. So here are a bunch of tutorials. So if you actually want to learn some of the stuff from a tutorial, the ice skating tutorial is pretty good. Okay, but we're not going to do that. We're going to just go to templates. Okay, so templates let me choose the background that I want. Okay, so I like penguins, so I'm going to put snow as my background. Okay, so I'm picking snow as my background, and I'm going to open Alice. So now I've got snow. Okay, this is... Alice is looking at object-oriented programming, which in fact Visual Basic is object-oriented programming. There are two kinds of programming, procedural, and we did that with JavaScript. And object-oriented, which shows up in Visual Basic. But this one kind of emphasizes some of those things. So here it says, add objects. So what it's talking about is adding something, a thing, a noun, So I'm saying add objects. And the objects I'm going to add come up down below, and I can choose what objects I want. So I'm going to come over here, and I said I like penguins. So I'm going to put up a penguin. Okay, so there's a penguin up there. And then I put up another penguin, and I've now got two objects. And notice over here that it made the list, penguin and penguin two. So I've now listed my objects. Okay? So now I can go over, and I want to get back, so I clicked on that to take me back, and I'm now going to go find people. Does anybody see people? There's people. And snowmen are considered people.
Okay.
So now I'm putting up a snowman and a snow woman. Okay, so I've got a snowman, a snow woman, and two penguins sitting there. Okay, so that's enough objects I've decided. So I can then, when I've got this, I can click on done. Okay, so I now have four objects sitting out there. Okay. So now I can start to have my objects do something. Okay, so here are my four objects. And I can start having them do something. So I'm programming them. So I am going to click on Penguin 1. And then it shows all of the methods. And again, the word methods. Methods are things that my objects can do. Okay? So methods are things that the objects can do. So it's the code that I'm going to write. So I'm going to have my penguin flap its wings two times. And then I'm going to have my penguin glide. And then I'm going to have my snow woman turn right two revolutions. And then I'm going to have my snowman move. Whoops, I didn't get my snowman in there. My snowman is going to move up 5 meters. And then I will have my snow. Oh, that was my snow woman. Okay, so then I'll have my snow woman move down 5 meters, so I'm basically making her jump. And then I'll have my snowman, I click on snowman, that's the easiest way, and I'm going to have him roll right 2 revolutions. Okay, so I have now put all of these methods in, things that I want my objects to do. So I'm writing the code to make my objects do these things. And if I come up here and click on play, okay, it does its thing. Okay? So go ahead and play for about 5 minutes, and then I'll take the fun away and show you how to...
This is really cool. We should learn how to program this. Way originally.
So make a new world, put in some objects, make them do things. notice that this is called World My First Method, and up at the top it says, when the world starts, do World My First Method. So it comes down and does World My First Method, and all those things I dragged over are part of that routine. Yeah. You can't have a problem with this. That's not allowed.
I did everything, and every time I hit play, it says it's not working.
Yes. Snowman will forward 1 meter and roll. Walking. Five on the sequence with the rest?
Yeah.
Yeah, that does mean that. Sometimes I lose track of that.
Can I just jump up and help you?
All right, then. I said, yeah. You did the thing, and you said yes, but then you said you're going to see five.
Okay. And send it to me again. I say, yeah. Okay. I mean, if you send me things separate, it's really better to send me the whole roll of wax each time. You don't expect me
to. Oh, I had to redo it.
Right, but it's still okay. It just, sometimes that when things come in separate, I lose track. And we've already decided that yesterday's not a good day.
Yeah.
I made more mistakes yesterday than I made on an average month. You can't until you start, when you start out. So it has to be a new world, I believe. There's probably a way to do it. I shouldn't say there isn't a way. I don't know the way. I know the rudimentaries of Alice, and that's about it. But there's a lot you can do with it. Okay, now I want you to download from my site so I can show you some different things. So go to my site, go to examples, go to Alice Programming, and download the Balls Bounce example and unzip it. Balls Bounce examples. Okay, so now we're going to get boring. We're going to have three balls bouncing as opposed to penguins and snow people.
These computers are so slow.
Have you noticed that?
No, it seems slower than usual today. This one in particular.
Yes, I just managed to close Alice down. I didn't mean to do that.
There's a reason I prefer to use my computer.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you look around here and see all of the laptops that are open, you'll know that a lot of people feel that way.
Yes. I've got your desktop for me. Let me just bring it here.
Okay. Under examples. It's about two-thirds of the way down the page. It's out. Download the ones that say bounce.
Goodness, my computer started working.
And you're going to do a file open world. And we're going to look at my first example. File open world.
Oh, this is the one thing I hate about my computer. It says this. This is one thing I hate about my computer. How it does splash screens.
So these are the examples that should come in under balls bounce.
How much is this?
And as I said, I'm going to post an extra credit assignment that you can do with this if you're interested in doing Alice. So I'm going to look at first at opening the balls bounce. I'm going to look at ballsbounce.a2w. Okay, so I've got three balls. And I put those on as objects, toy ball one, tennis ball, and volleyball. Okay, so those are my balls. Everybody got this one found?
Yeah. I have issues with my computer, but it's
nice. Has yours come up yet?
So you use my logo? That might be why.
Okay, what I've got here is I did a create a new method. Again, when this starts up, it does the method called world my first method. And if you don't change anything, that's the default that comes up. So So there's will my first method. Okay. Now I can go and I can create another method. So I clicked on Toy Ball 1. And notice it tells me all the things that I can do down here. And it also says create new method. So that means I can create one of my own. And I did. And I called it bounce. And that bounce method is associated with the Toy Ball 1. So I had to have Toy Ball 1 clicked. Then I clicked Create New Method. And I call my new method Bounce. Okay? So I can create another new method if I say Create New Method and I give it a name. So if I click on Create New Method, it says give it a name. And I will give it a name of whatever. And then I say, okay, and it creates a method called whatever. So now you can see I have two methods over here. Bounce that I created before, and whatever that I just created. When I click on edit next to the method, I can put code in. So I am the bounce. Said, I want the Toy Ball 1 to move down 6 meters, and then I want it to move up 6 meters. So I want it to bounce. Come down, go back up. I wanted it to bounce. Okay? And so that is the Toy Ball 1. Now, in Toy Ball whatever, I can have it that I want the ball to say hello. Okay? I can put in that I want it to say hello. I can put it that I want it to roll left 2 revolutions. So I can put anything I want in this whatever method. Okay? So now I've got my whatever method built, and it is associated with the Toy Ball 1 object. And the reason is that I clicked on Toy Ball 1, and then I clicked on Create New Method, and whatever method I made is associated with Toy Ball 1. And it tells you that, Toy Ball 1 dot whatever. Means the whatever method associated with Toy Ball 1. And Toy Ball 1 dot bounce means the bounce method associated with Toy Ball. So then I go down to tennis ball and I made a bounce associated with that. And so if I look at that, it does the same thing, only this time it's the tennis ball that it moves down and the tennis ball that it moves back up. And then I bet you can guess what I did with volleyball. I went and made a method that is the same for volleyball. Okay, so there's volleyball, and my edit method is volleyball move down and volleyball move up. So these are all of the methods I have. There are a bunch of bounce methods, a whatever method, and the my first method associated with the world up here. This is the world. Okay? So I'm going to click on world, my first method, and I'm going to go back and click on Toy Ball 1, and I'm going to drag the whatever for Toy Ball 1 over there. So now it's going to do the bounce for Toy Ball 1, the bounce for tennis ball, the bounce for volleyball, and then it's going to do the whatever associated with Toy Ball 1. Okay? So if I run this, there goes the bounce. There's another bounce. There's another bounce. And the ball said hello and spun. Because that's what I told it to do in whatever, was to say hello and then spin. Okay. So what I did here was I created methods, which are like the subroutines in Visual Basic. In Visual Basic, we have these subroutines that we go and we can execute. Well, now I am going to go and execute the bounce method, or execute the bounce, the whatever method, so I can execute the methods. I told you it would stop being fun soon. Okay, questions? You don't get to drag the animals around anymore. Okay. So, I created three methods called bounce, and I had them each associate with a different ball. And then I created a method called whatever that's associated with toy ball one. And if I click on toy ball one, I see its methods. If I click on the other balls, I see their methods. Okay. So basically, the world, my first method is the main thing. And it is then saying, okay, now I want to do these four subroutines, or these four methods. Questions? Okay. So, if you got yours still around, I'll give you a chance in a few minutes to experiment with some of this stuff. Okay, so now I'm going to say file. And I'm going to say, I want to open another world. And it's going to prompt me, do I want to save modifications? No, I'm not going to save them. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the if. Okay, so the first thing that I decided to do here was I said, in programming, I have the world here, and it's going to have three things. It's going to have the startup, or housekeeping. It's going to have the processing part, and it's going to have the wrap-up part. And as we talked about at one point when I brought this up, this is usually just a one-time thing. I start up one time. And this is usually a one-time thing. And this is something that I usually do many times. I could only do it once, but usually could only be once. But usually, I do it many times. In this case, I'm not doing it many times, but usually I do. Okay. So, startup or housekeeping is getting things ready to go. Processing is doing what you have to do. And wrap up is closing everything down. So, the way I did this is I said, okay, my program is going to have these three parts, and they're all part of the world. So I clicked up there on world, up at the top. And when I got to world, it says world my first method. And I said, I'm going to make three procedures, one called startup, one called process, and one called wrap-up. And I'm going to do those three procedures. So then I said, okay, now let's see what I'm going to do in startup. And wait a minute, let me back up a minute. On the ones that we just looked at, the methods were associated with an object. Here, it's associated with the world, which means it's kind of associated with the whole program. The world is an object too, but it's associated with the whole program. So if I look at startup and I say I want to edit it, what I did in startup was I took the balls off the ground and moved them all up in the air. So that was to get started. I moved them all up in the air. Guess what I'm going to do in wrap up?
Bring them back down.
Bring them back down again, exactly. So in wrap up, I'm going to bring all the balls back down again. So start up, put them up in the air, ready to bounce. Wrap up, brought them all back down. Okay? So then I said, let's see what I'm going to do in process. And in process, I decided to do an if. Okay? So, notice down here at the bottom, there's a whole lot of different commands that I can do. So I dragged up the if. So I took the if and I dragged it up like that. And I said, for now, I'm just going to say true, and I'll fill in the condition in a minute. So I just brought it up and made it look like that. So that's how I started out. Then I said, I want a variable. And I'm going to make the variable a random number. So I need a variable and I need a random number. So to make a variable, I can say create new variable. Okay? And I did that, and I called my variable which ball. Okay. So I can say create a new variable, and I can call it something. Okay, so I click on create new variable, and I call it something. And then I say okay, and now I've got a variable called something. So, that means that in my if statement, I can drag something down and put it where that true was. And I can say what I said was less than or equal to. So I picked one of those things. I picked less than or equal to one. And that's how I wrote that. So I dragged the something down. I dragged it down to here, then it opened up all those choices, and I picked less than or equal to one. Okay, so that's how I did that. Now, before I go any further, I want to get a random number to put in which. So I can say, set which ball to a random number. Okay? So, the way I did that, and I guess I want to put it in right there. Actually, I think I'll put it down here and we'll move it up. Okay, lots of times what you have to do when you're dealing with Alice is I know I want to use a which ball. Okay, so I dragged which ball down. I can put it right there so you can actually see it. So I'm going to put which ball, and then I just have to put something in there. I'm going to figure out what to put in a minute, but I need a placeholder. And where did it go? I didn't want anything there. What did I just do? Delete. Right? So I wanted to make a witch ball. And I must have put it in the wrong place, so I'll go back down here. There. Okay. Now what I want to do is I want to find the random number thing. I'm actually going to get rid of that. Delete. I'm going to find the thing that makes a random number. Because actually I did that out of sequence. Usually that's what I do, is drag something down. But here I want to find the thing that makes a random number. So I'm going to go in here and choose under functions. Function is something that will find a random number. Function can also do other things. There can be lots of functions, but I'm going to have a function. So I'm going to drag over a random number. Come on, we can do this. Maybe I did have to drag it down. I told you I'm having a bad day today. Random number.
Set value to 1, then drag.
Yeah, I think I wanted to have the set value, right? Random number. So I think I want to have the something and then set value to 2. That's what I wanted to do. So I have something. Okay. Sorry about that. I drag something down and set value to 2. But I really want to set value to a random number. Duh. Okay. So I now have it to 2. I come over here and I take the function random number and put it in there. Okay, do you see what I did? I dragged something down and I picked set value. I was picking the wrong thing. So I dragged something down, I picked set value, and I set it to anything. And then I brought random number in and put it on top of it. Okay? And then I went in and said, okay, the next thing right after non-random number is I want a minimum of 0. So I'm going to go in here where it says more, and I'm going to pick minimum 0. And then it has another more, so I'm going to click on that, and this time I'm setting maximum, and I want a different number, so I pick other. And other gives me this keyboard thing, so I can pick 3 and then say okay. So I get the maximum number of 3. So I managed to do it. Okay. Okay, so then I said if something is less than or equal to 1, I want to do the toy ball bounce. So I go back over, I click on toy ball, and I drag its bounce method right over here. So if something is less than or equal to 1, I want to make the toy ball 1 bounce. And again, I went to toy ball 1. I went to toy ball 1, picked its bounce, and dragged it over. Okay. Then, under the else, I want to do another if. So I drag the if up here. Wait a minute, I got to get out of the ink layer. I drag the if up here and put it in the else, right under the else. And I want the condition to be true, and now I've got the true. So I'm going to drag something down on top of the true. So I drag something down here. And I say less than or equal to 2. And if it's less than or equal to 2, I want to go to tennis ball and drag its bounce over. Otherwise, I want to go to volleyball and drag its bounce over. And then I want to put the something up above that. Let's see how I'm going to do moving that. Not too well. Make a copy? No, it won't let me make a copy. All right. Come on. I ought to be able to drag this. There we go. Okay. So I put that in over there, except that I actually want it outside. Whatever. I want it outside, and I don't seem to be able to move it outside very well.
Small area.
Mm-hmm.
A small area.
Right. Come on.
A little bit lower.
There. All right, now I got it. It takes a little, it may be easier to write your own program. So now I've got, I've duplicated the thing. So if I run this, okay, so that one is the one that bounces, and with something, that one's the one that bounces, and then they all go down. So let's do it again. Restart, they all go up, that's startup. Then that one bounces, that's the first one I did. Oh, that's bouncing twice. So both something and which ball were all pointing to the tennis ball. And if I restart, they all go up. And then the toy ball bounced, and then the volleyball bounced, and now they're all going down. So, play around with this for a few minutes, and then I'll show you a quick thing with a loop, and then we will leave it be. So, play around with this for a few minutes. Try making a few subroutines. Try making an if statement. And if you're all caught up on this and have nothing you can think of to do, you can do the extra credit. There's a PowerPoint presentation that goes through this step by step. You gave up on it?
No, I got it. I kind of have to leave now. That's why.
Thank you.
And you can see I've got up here a loop where I dragged up the word loop and I dragged up the do together. So this loop is going to do those bounces all together.
It's going to loop through five times and do together all of the bounces. I basically decided I'd show you that so you could play with it. So there is all of the balls going up in the air for startup.
Now, they're all going to bounce five times, and they're bouncing together, which means I don't have to watch them individually. And now the balls are all going down for wrap-up.
Okay, so the bounce together got them to all bounce five times. And I got that by dragging up loop and dragging up do together.
Okay.
So play with the loop, play with an if statement, something.
Tell it to do.
Roll and then do a bounce.
Okay, so you just made it one. Oh, yeah, right. And that's okay. Who wanted a tennis ball anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the glide, I've had a glide off the screen.
Yeah.
Go shooting off. Made loop go away if you want it, or you can take a look at it. And here's a loop where I put an if statement inside the loop. So I did choose a ball five times. So that's the if statement inside the loop. So the one that says if loop, if you look at that one, that has a loop and an if statement all together. You got something doing something you like?
It's funny.
When your daughter gets a little older.
Well, she's already been playing around with the computer. I think she's going to actually love this.
Yeah, no, I think, and as I said, they can do it alone if they can read.
Yeah.
But they can do it if they can't read, then they need some help. But, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Yeah. You know, this is what mommy does. You can do it too.
Yeah. Probably do that with my kids too.
Can I read? You said it was free?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's free from Carnegie Mellon. But I think if you just do a, I think it's alice.org. I think it's alice.org. And there is the picture that I want.
It's available for pretty much any, it's available for Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yep. And it's free, and it's, you know, it's fun to play with. You know, kids enjoy playing with it. Adults enjoy playing with it.
What did you do at school today?
That's right. I got to play with this. Really? You can go to school and just play with that? That's pretty neat.
My parents would be like, why are we spending that money on that?
Yeah, no, I think actually the main reason I wanted to make sure I got to this year. This semester, because I, you know, last Thursday kind of threw me behind, was that I really kids love it. And so, you know, they see mommy and daddy working and an uncle or whatever working on a computer all the time, they want to do it.
Yeah.
This is something,
I've got my daughter set up with, like, the paint shop program right now, because I've got an extra, like, computer that, like, doesn't do anything. So when I'm doing my homework, she's sitting next to me and she's got paint all over the kitchen. Mommy, I'm doing homework too.
That's good.
Okay. I'll try to get screenshots.
At least it's cute. At least it sounds cute. Yeah, the one that you had?
Yeah, so I'm like, so she's going to destroy your computer. I'd rather do that one.
Then we'll start to be as great friends as Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I have an old computer that I use for the grandchildren, and the same thing, that I, you know, I do not want them touching my real computer, but, I've got an old computer that I put all these things on, and they can play with that to their heart's content.
Yeah, I'm giving my grandmother my old one, because I just got a new one.
Well, you'll have to show her Alice. Everybody likes Alice.
Yeah, this is an $800 laptop. I want it through work.
Nice.
Yeah. It's solid state, too.
Very good.
Very.
You want it for what?
Yes.
Nice. Okay, folks. Keep playing on this as long as you want to, but I'm done, basically. Next week is going to be open labs all day, 9:30 to 5. Between Eric and I, somebody will be here from 9:30 to 5 on Tuesday. 9:30 to 4 on Thursday. I'm going to be the one that's here at 9:30. You don't have to come in at 9:30.
I'll probably be
up. Okay. And then on Monday, I'm actually going to be here from 11 to 2 because I have another class in here. So Monday, I'll be here from 11 to 2. Your final, I believe, is on Tuesday. Tuesday.
Yeah, the schedule's not public at the moment.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I thought it was public, I believe your final is on the 10th. So I will have it posted by the 3rd, and I'll actually probably post it over the weekend, but I may not post it till Monday. But your final will be up by the 3rd. It is due on the 10th.
What was the extra credit Alice assignment?
I'll put it up tomorrow morning.
Okay. This is
Yeah.
And you want to send you the donor table?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
So I just left
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's what mom is at. It's
gonna... That was your last real assignment, the Alice's extra credit, if somebody wants to pick up extra credit.
Oh, wow. You can probably zoom it in.
Yeah, no, there's lots of cute characters to use in it. It really is. It's a...
If you look hard enough at Alice, they have the dojo from The Matrix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was looking around when I was messing around with that last semester. I'm like, hey, it's the dojo from The Matrix. I was trying to make them fight each other. I'm like, this is too much of their heading.
Now, that must have been online, right? Not in the ones that come. You have to go online to find
them. Yeah, I downloaded Alice on my computer. I think it's still going to hang this weekend. Oh, do you want it all sent in one email? Or
no.
No?
No, 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 no. No, because if I send them all in one, then I have to correct everything before I can file it. And because what my system is, I get an email, I correct it, and I file the email. Well, if there's 10 things to correct on there, and I don't feel like correcting all 10 of them, then I lose you.
We got a checklist too for this class, do we not?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But I definitely do not want one assignment per email.
Oh, that is it. Okay.
One assignment per email. Because then when I'm done correcting it, I file it and I feel, ooh, sense of accomplishment. If you've got 10 things on there, I don't get to feel sense of accomplishment until I've done all 10. Yes, sir.
Well, it wasn't like we shouldn't have the hour. I'm gonna. I should.